zone. Tap tool it doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come strong. If you come at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna call my shot. Tell you what I've got. Road rage. Nothing you can. What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships at sea? How are you today, producer Ramona?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. You know, I watched this horror movie last night, right? I have no idea what the name of it was. It was really late. I mean, it was probably, I probably started that movie at 4 a.m. Something like that.
Oh, and you wonder why you don't sleep.
Yeah, like 4 a.m., and it was about, they locked all these clowns in a house. And so you think it's sort of your standard fare, but these people are being punished by some mad AI genius and a bunch of people in like panda masks, panda bear masks. They're being punished because they are social media hookers. You know, basically they're influencers, they're OnlyFans stars, whatever they are. You know, they're just so this individual has decided that society doesn't need these people. So he's killing them off like one by one. They have these tests and then they die and he lies about it too. And it's being broadcast all over the world, and people are betting on it, rooting for individuals as they're getting killed, and at some point he's laying out his logic, saying don't get it twisted, people are loving this, they don't mind seeing you people die at all, and if they do, they'll get over it in 2 seconds. They're in fully engaged watching you die, and I was thinking to myself, I know it's just a movie, but is that true? And sadly enough, I think it is.
I'm sure there's a lot of that.
I think if
like
this
to watch stuff like that.
Yeah, I think if this thing, what I'm saying is, if this thing actually existed, I think it would have had the same results that this movie did. In other words, massive viewership. Everybody of every age watching it from coast to coast, from all over the world, which is what they were doing, and they gave an explanation of how you stay ahead of the people trying to figure out where this is actually coming from, which in this particular movie was Grady, Oklahoma. In any case, I couldn't help but thinking when I think about social media today and everything that you see on it and the way people react to everything, that there's probably some truth in that. That if this thing actually existed, you know, we have this habit, Ramona, of these movies come out, right? These horrible, horrible movies that you think, that's never going to happen. And then like 20 years later, that actually happens.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I'm wondering is this movie just 20 years before its time? Are we to see this actually happen 20 years from now? It would not surprise me. Nothing would surprise me anymore. Nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Nothing surprises me
absolutely
either.
Nothing. Like, this doesn't surprise me either. I saw this pop up, Rivals. You interpret this how you want, okay? You can believe it. You cannot believe it. I don't care. I'm just presenting the information in terms of what this might mean to the immediate future. Rivals, top ACC commits in the 2027 Rivals 300. And this is an on-3 Rivals rating of the top ACC commits. This is in order, okay? Listen to this. Dante Wright, Miami. Amir Sears, Miami. Nick Lanier, Miami. Jaden Bryant, Miami. Akeem Hall, Miami. Israel Abrams, Miami. A.J. Randall Jr., Miami. Bryce Kish, Clemson. Jahide Brown, of course it's a Brown, going to Louisville, because they get all the Browns. And then Eli Woodard, Miami. So, 8 of the top 10 in the entire league all going to Miami. That doesn't seem to bode well for anybody else not named Miami in terms of what the future holds. I don't see how you ignore that. I mean, that's a hardcore reality. We talk about Clemson recruiting being good. It has been good, but the problem is Miami's been great. And again, I've not evaluated these players, so I can't speak right now to whether these rankings are accurate or not. But when you have that degree of dominance on the rankings, they're certainly better than anybody else. You can be sure of that. You know, how much better? I don't know. How great these players are? I don't know. As I said, I've not watched the film of Wright, Sears, Lanier, Bryant, Hall, Abrams, Randall, Woodard. But it's still a little disconcerting if you're a Clemson fan or a fan of any other team that in the ACC, Florida State fan, Florida State's not in this at all. Not even a mention. I don't know where Florida State's first player would fit on this list. Actually, let me see if I click on this, if they give me the full thing. They give me profiles on these guys, like it says Dante Wright, number 4 nationally, number 1 cornerback nationally. Amir Sears, number 2 cornerback nationally. Lanier, number 4 wide receiver nationally. Bryant, number 4 edge nationally. Hall, number 7 cornerback nationally. That's 3 cornerbacks, people. Abrams, number 4 quarterback nationally. Randall, number 5 linebacker nationally. Kish made number 6 linebacker nationally. Brown, the receiver going to Louisville, number 11 wide receiver nationally. And Woodard going to Miami, number 12. Other ACC commits in the Rivals 300. This is it. Charles Davis, wide receiver, Cal. Tayshaun Poole, the safety, Florida State. Chandler, safety, Clemson. Dawson, edge, Miami. Hippolyte, safety, Miami. Bork, quarterback, Virginia Tech. Albright, safety, Florida State. Tillman, defensive line, Clemson. Aparicio Bailey, safety, Clemson. And Evan Villa, cornerback, Stanford. So that's it. That's the others in the 300. And I don't have any. It doesn't provide the list of where these other guys fit in terms of what their overall rankings were. But so once you go beyond that top 10, Clemson had 3, Miami had 2, Florida State had 2, and then there were some individual ones. But that is a profile, a recruiting profile. Any way you cut that, of complete domination by Miami. I mean, total complete domination. Again, what's it going to mean on the field moving forward? I don't know. I did think all along that that Mario Cristobal was going to rebuild Miami, and he has. He's built them from the line of scrimmage out. That's who he is, and he's done it successfully, and they're going to be right back in this hunt this year. And I think you'd be naive not to believe that. I mean, I it's sort of remarkable to me. When I went over those individual votes by the AP the other day, did I say that there was only one person who voted Miami number one, right? Which seems a little odd considering they played in the national championship game. I know they've lost some guys. I know they lost Bain and Messidor and their best offensive lineman in theory, but I think they'd be right back doing the same thing with an offense that's more explosive, not less explosive. And so if there's any deficiency at the defensive edge spots where there's still tremendous pass rush talent, I think they're more than going to make up for it. And their schedule is, quite honestly, sort of cakish. You know, they have a game against Clemson here, and they have a game at Notre Dame. Other than that, where are they losing? Their win total is 10.5, and to me it makes sense to go over that number. Because, I mean, I don't think they're guaranteed to lose anything. They might lose at Notre Dame, but, I mean, right now, it'd be hard to pick any ACC team against Miami right now. I don't care where the game is played. It'd just be really difficult to pick. And it wouldn't be logical. Could it happen? Yeah. What's the most likely spot it would happen? Here. How likely is it? Probably not very likely. You know, we're going to find out, though. We're going to find out. But make no mistake about it. We're not talking about a school that has positioned themselves to be a 1 or 2 year success. This is not the Florida State thing. This is not what we saw from Norvell and Florida State and, you know, 12-0 and then falls apart after that. This is now a program that has repositioned themselves to be the U again. To be a dominant factor nationally every single year. That's where they are. And it's one of those things you sort of got to wake up to it and realize this is here. This is what's coming. This is the dominant program in the ACC, and it's going to be hard to displace them because of the level they're recruiting at. All the stuff that they used to do a million years ago when they were the dominant program in college football, or certainly one of them, when they were the U, when they had talent out the yin-yang, they are starting to replicate all that, and they are gaining momentum as a program. That's absolutely clear. Absolutely clear. I mean, they are going to be one of the top two or three teams in America the next, wherever they're playing, the next 5-6 years at least. You can see it happening. They're dominating the recruiting picture. And they can play with anybody. There's nobody in the country that this team can't potentially beat. I mean, they could win the national championship. I mean, you know, they're sort of slighted, I think, with that one voter picking them one. Because you can make a great case that they're going to win the national title. I mean, I think they're going to be in that mix. Again, we can't forecast injuries. We don't know. But right now, it's sort of a Miami world in the ACC, and I'm not sure that's going to change when you look at the level they're recruiting at. This thing just popped up. I didn't plan on talking about this today. It just it popped up right in front of me as I sat down here to do the show. I have the game plan today is I have done the rest of my win total plays in college football for the year. We're going to give those out today. So degenerates, get your crayons, get ready. We're going to add to our win totals. We're going to go over what we did. We're going to go over our spread picks with college football right here. And then we're going to have a broader conversation about the greatest individual seasons in college football history. And when I say history, I mean history. I don't mean these lists of the 10 greatest individual seasons in college football history. They're all 2000 to 2026. That's not the way it works. If you're going to say all time, then make it all time. Make sure you include all of the greatest individual seasons from college football history without regard for the fact that the numbers were different in the past. That's just the way it was. What you're looking for is dominance. And again, when teams are playing nine games and the entire game is played in a different way, you can't say, well, that's way worse than, I don't know, Marcus Mariota threw for 4,500 yards. It's not how it works. What you're looking for is historical dominance in a particular period of time and to what degree they dominated. That's the only way you can fairly compare players from different eras. And as a part of this conversation, I don't just want quarterbacks. I don't just want running backs. I want what players were the most dominant in the history of college football, individually in any season. So, in other words, I'm including Outland Trophy winners. I'm including Lombardi winners. So I'm including offensive linemen. I'm including defensive linemen. I'm including cornerbacks. I'm including every position. We're going to have a conversation about what players had the greatest individual seasons in college football history. Now, I have not ranked these guys as yet because the first task in trying to do this is I've got to figure out who they are. You know, I've got to consider all these individual seasons and then put them in this mix, which is what I've done. I did not want to miss anybody. And I may have. I'm certain I did. But I've evaluated all of college football history. And I've made a determination of what I think are the greatest individual seasons throughout the history of college football. Again, I have not ranked them as yet because I'm not at that point. I probably have 50, 60 individual seasons that were just, I think, epitomize what greatness is all about, regardless of position. And we're going to talk about that at some point today. All right, I'm taking a quick break. Rudy, you're up first on the other side.
The countdown is on. 15 days until Clemson Tiger football, presented by Ingles. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Looks left side, comes back right. We're going down the middle looking for more. Touchdown.
32, Ramon, I'm starving. I'm already starving.
Why are you starving already?
I don't know. I'm already starving. I'm starving.
No breakfast?
I'm third world starving.
That's just wrong. That's not very nice to say.
Sorry. It's the truth. Rudy, how are you, Rudy? Good to have you on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line.
There's two of them, my friend. I would recommend dessert before food.
Oh, I would do that. Yeah,
Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, I'm 100% with that. 100% with that. I'm always. I don't need things in the order that normal people do. I don't care what my mother said. You know, I'm 100% fine with dessert before dinner.
How dare you say that?
Sorry, Mom. She's looking down now, saying,
"Well, that you're one of a kind."
Give me those donuts. Give me those Krispy Kreme donuts. I'll start with that. I'll eat dinner later.
When I met you at Twin Peaks, I realized that this guy is a bit different.
That's right. It's appetizers first, Rudy. It's the donuts are the appetizers.
Let me ask you this. Well, okay, so.
But then I'll still have the regular appetizer, too.
I know, and I recommend at Twin Peaks the venison chili.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Anyway, so Clemson's offense. I know we got a new offensive coordinator, which is, you know, the good old boy, as some people would say, and Tom Allen. And I know they went to the portal, but should we expect different this year?
Yeah, I think there are some things that are 100% going to be better. The back end of the defense is going to be better. How much better, that remains to be seen. You have a star in Ashton Hampton. I think you have a really good corner in Elliott Washington, although there hasn't been much talk about Elliott Washington one way or another, which has surprised me a little bit. I think the safeties are going to be much improved. Gibson is a player. I'm pretty optimistic about the secondary. And last year, if there was one area of the defense that just got torched, mental mistakes, big plays. Now, also, it's year one of a new defensive scheme, so that should help too.
Yeah. Tom Allen's son is in charge of the back half.
Yeah, and I also think that the other part that's going to be better to me is I think the pass rush from the defensive end spots is going to be better. I'm pretty optimistic about that because I think Clemson has four guys there for once. You know, we've heard about depth at defensive end in the past.
Well, who is the who's the other one other than Helt? Who's on the other side?
Lawson. And I think Lawson's going to lead Clemson in sacks. That'd be my guess. I think he's potentially a double digit sack guy, and I think Clemson needs him to be in that range. Nine.
And it's Brown and Alexander right behind him.
Well, I think London Merritt is going to play a role at defensive end, and I think he's a really good acquisition. He's athletic, he's explosive, and I expect him to be able to play a role. So the bottom line for me, Rudy, is I think the pass rush is likely to be better. I think that the secondary is better. So the defense on a whole should be better. Now, there are some areas that Clemson can't afford injury. They can't afford injury at defensive tackle, can't afford injury at linebacker.
Didn't they move somebody from offense?
Yeah, they moved Pennington to defensive line. And you know, and Dabo Swinney said the other day, you know, he's going to be in for like two plays at a time, and that's it. You know, that's what he's good for. He's 355 pounds. He's not going to play extended plays.
So he's more of a run stopper.
Yes, he's a more of a two gap type. But what he will give you for let's just say this. Okay, you're not going to see him in a game on third and long ever, all right? If you see him in the game, it's going to be on first and second down in run situations. That's where you'll see him. And then he'll come out, you know, because he's not going to have the wind to play longer than that. But at 355 pounds, he potentially gives you the immovable object part, you know.
He's like a bigger version of Peter Woods.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a guy who can two gap and maybe stuff the run. He may be able to do that. I can't answer it fully, Rudy, because I haven't seen him play defensive tackle in a million years. So
I get that. But that's
my guess. That's my guess.
But anyway, one thing I got going for me, Walt, is. As bad as being a Falcons fan is, and I'm going to throw a little shade here towards my friend, Craig, it's better than being a Jets fan.
That's probably true. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Rudy. Thank you. Listen, most times when guys get moved at this point in the process, it's not because they're anticipating success for that individual at the new position. It's to placate. It's just to do something with something that's not working. And he wasn't working at offensive line in any way, shape, or form. But defensively, again, he potentially can give you a two-down run stuffer. Again, he will never be on the field in any pass rush situation, ever. He will be his role, if he has one, will be run downs, first and 10, and you know, second and 8, he's coming off the field. You know, that's the situation. So we'll see how all that plays out, whether he can make a positive impact at defensive tackle, where Clemson has some depth issues. Look, I've said forever that the most talented guy in this mix, Amari Adams, I said he's more talented than Peter Woods. He has to play up to that. If Amari Adams does not play up to his ability, Clemson is going to be screwed at defensive tackle. That's, you know, that was when he basically came out and said the same exact thing the other day. And I've talked about Adams forever. I think he's more gifted than Peter Woods, and Clemson needs him to be a beast. That guy being a beast is essential to the defensive tackle position, because I got a newsflash for you. You can talk about any of those other guys you want. The answer is Adams, and there's not really another answer. There are Jags. And you can believe in whatever other fantasies you want, but that's how I see it. I think you have Adams, who has the potential to be an elite dominant guy, and then I think you basically have Jags at that spot. And that concerns me. That's an area of concern. And so Adams gets hurt. Adams doesn't play up to his potential. I think you have a problem at defensive tackle. I just don't see any way around that. Robert and Coach Bradley, come right to you. Do not move, and we will be right back.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Join us at 210 Fern Street, right here in Easley. The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from
Batting helmet, the gloves, the uniform.
And I noticed that too.
Did you notice he has two different color shoes on?
I did notice that.
I don't know if they gave an explanation for why he has two different color shoes on, but yeah, that's unique. Meanwhile, this team in the field looks like the old Houston Astros. J.R. Richards on the hill, apparently, for this little league team. You know, it's funny because these kids, Ramona, for the most part, they all look like kids.
Yeah, they do.
Whereas the female players, I'm convinced, drove themselves to the game in their minivans.
Yeah.
Yeah. After doing the grocery shopping.
Picture. Look at the picture. He looks like a kid.
Yeah, he does.
He's all business.
Well, he is all business, but the first sign is like their ball caps are all too big for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They grow into it.
Yeah. Robert and then Coach Bradley right now. Robert on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. Robert, how are you? Good to have you.
Walt, I appreciate you getting me in. I hope you and Ramona have a safe and fun weekend.
Yes, thank you, Robert. Appreciate that. Same to you.
Just a couple of snap comments before.
Food-filled is what we're actually hoping for.
Say again?
Food-filled is what we're actually hoping for. Food-filled weekend.
Started off talking about the dang donuts.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're going to be talking about Italian food here pretty soon.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Couple of quick comments. First of all, being a Jets fan, that's not anywhere near as bad as being a South Carolina Gamecocks fan. So you can take that for whatever it's worth.
I don't know.
At least the Jets have won something.
Yeah, in 1969.
Well, that's better than never.
Yeah, but South Carolina had a nice little run there as a top 10 type team under Spurrier. The Jets have had a moment or two. They had the Parcells time period. They've had a moment or two. You know, they've actually had some interesting quarterbacks through the years, but yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that I want to talk about before I get, because I want to comment on your greatest football teams or greatest season. I forgot how you phrased it. And then
players.
Before I get to
players, greatest individual player seasons.
Oh, well, I messed that all up. I thought you were talking about greatest individual team.
No, players.
Because you had gotten off on that a couple weeks ago, I think, yeah. Talking about. Okay, well, then you can scratch that. Clemson, since Clemson's last championship and being, you know, dominant on the national scene, well, there's two things that have really just I can't even explain the two things that just stick out to me is wide receiver injuries and overhyped defensive linemen.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I mean, what is going on with Vic Burley? I know that he was back at practice there, you know, and he played in the scrimmage. He's got to be one of the most disappointing defensive linemen in a bunch of disappointing defensive linemen that Clemson has had
He has some ability. He had ability when he got here as a freshman. There was a lot of conjecture about him playing as a freshman, but he's never been able to stay healthy, and he's never been productive as a result. And again, football really still comes back to that Marty Schottenheimer line about the best ability is availability. And if you're not available, it doesn't matter how great you are. I mean, you know, Bo Jackson might have been the greatest player of all time, but he wasn't a healthy player. He got injured. He was injured at times in college, and obviously his career ended with an injury.
Yeah, and I thought that a player that I was looking forward to this year was Heaven Brown Shue.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to really take a step forward this year, and then he had his unfortunate, you know, and I'm not sure what his status is. I thought there was some good news from Dabo Swinney recently on, I mean, I guess he's got some kind of cancer.
Yeah. There was good news on that front, but I don't know that we're talking about playing football. I don't.
Oh no, I don't think he is. Yeah. I don't think he's playing this year.
Okay, I thought that's what you were trying to say.
No. I was saying,
yeah,
looking forward, before the news came out,
okay,
of his diagnosis, he was a player that I thought was going to take the next step,
yeah,
this season. You know, maybe last spring. But anyway.
I just believe this. If Amari Adams does not step up and play like a big-time star at defensive tackle, Clemson's going to have an issue at that position.
They absolutely are. They're going to be having to outscore every team they play, because unless some of these linebackers come on and you know, start contributing, if we don't have anybody – and if Amari Adams doesn't play like the stud he's capable of playing like, it's not good. Well, this defense is going to give up some yardage.
Yeah. Well, you know, one other thing with Pennington at 355, one of the things that these big two-gap DT bodies can give you is they can protect your linebacker.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when you were talking about him earlier. He should be able to occupy at least two blockers, depending on the scheme. So,
but again, this is, you know, sort of conjecture by me, because we haven't seen it. You know what I mean? I don't have anything to go by. I'm just talking. Really, what we're talking here are body types and the possibility that the body type could help in a particular manner. Other than that,
yeah,
you know, I can't speak to whether, you know, he can actually do anything. I don't know. I don't have a way to know. I'd have to go back to high school film and evaluate him then, and I'm not going to do that at this point.
Yeah. Well, for me, the one thing, he's going to have an aggressive streak. No matter what else he has, he's going to have to be aggressive,
yeah,
to play on defense. And I hope, seeing as they put him over there, that he at least has, you know, a little bit of a mean streak, and he's a little bit aggressive.
Well, again, this is not generally it can work both ways, but generally speaking, that's not the direction linemen move in. In general, defensive linemen are more athletic guys than offensive linemen are in most cases, particularly when we talk about interior offensive linemen. And so generally that's not a move that is made. It's moving the other way, where a guy is maybe a big defensive lineman is not quite athletic enough to be impactful, and they move into offensive line, you know, something of that sort. But
happened for Clemson's had some success doing that.
Yeah.
A player ended up in the NFL.
Yeah,
I can't,
yep.
Names escaping me off the top. Anyway, a couple of numbers. I took the Syracuse over about the same time you did. I can't even remember what it is, but anyway,
4.5.
Four and a half. Yeah, I think they kill that number. I've got Miami to win the championship. I got that at 10-1.
I like that play. I mean, I think Miami's going to be in this conversation. I think too many people are sleeping on them, and I'm becoming more convinced of that by the day.
Yeah, I think people are too. I mean, I've been talking about a rematch between them and Indiana. I was going to take Indiana to reach the championship game, but I only got 4-1 odds, and I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah.
I may go back and get that. But anyway, I also took the ACC conference to win the championship at 9-1. Because if Miami's going to win it, the ACC's going to win it.
But why do you need – why? But, okay. I guess – But I guess since you got Miami at 10-1, why would you need that?
Because it was 9-1.
But 10-1's better than 9-1.
I understand, but I'm just trying to, you know, make hay off of the fact that I believe Miami's going to win the championship.
Okay.
And then I got Darian Mensah winning the Heisman.
Oh, that's definitely possible. Yeah. Miami's in that position at the end of the year, that's 100% possible. Robert, I got to run. Great talking to you as always.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Let me get to Coach Bradley. Coach, appreciate you joining us.
Hey, Walt. Good afternoon. Listen, I was just first of all, I'm sitting in traffic, and I swear, the light turns red, and people are sitting there. It's like they were born 10 minutes ago. It's his first day on Earth. Just go already.
Right. It's terrible. You just want to push them through the intersection. And, yeah. You're not supposed to be on your phones or whatever it is you're friggin' doing when the light turns.
Yeah. All right. Exactly right. And I'm also frustrated because I'm going to Easley. I'm an athletic director at a Christian academy, and I'm on my way to a big tournament we're supposed to play in, and they've closed the only road into Easley.
Oh, no.
From I-85. That's just because there's and a bunch of yellow jacketed people are just standing there.
Oh.
So I'm riding around. I don't know where I am right now. but anyway, here's what I'll talk to you about. Listen.
You know, Coach, I've done that. I am a regular I don't know where I am right now guy.
Yeah. I'm that way, too. And sometimes it's just self-imposed.
Yeah. It always is with me. Yeah.
Nevertheless, some guys were talking recently, and they said, who's to say there comes a day that we start paying high school kids?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, and I'm not talking about, and no disrespect to them, but I'm not talking about a school like Dixie.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm talking about if you're over there at DMW and Dorman's knocking on your door, who's to say they're not going to come and say, you know, we got a couple hundred thousand dollars for you to build your roster here?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that could happen?
Oh, 100%.
Because I think those companies would have the strength to be able to lean on the legislature to let them do it.
Yeah, there is nothing that could possibly happen now that would surprise me. I mean, given everything we've seen, I mean, again, if you just go back 10 years and you say to yourself, what will the world look like 10 years from now? There's nobody on earth who would have thought it would look like this.
Right.
You know,
exactly, all
things are possible. And if the government does not get going and we don't get some sort of legislation to control some of this, it's just going to get worse and worse.
It's going to get worse and worse. It's just, well, I coached high school football for a long time, and I was just thinking about that thing. What if we got a Martavis Bryant? I was his position coach. I mean, what if we had a Martavis Bryant, and he knows he's going to make it to the next level, and, you know, we're getting a bidding war with whoever over it. And I just wondered if you thought, because I said, well, I don't know if there's too many obstacles to do that. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to call Walt.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think all of those kind of obstacles get overcome now. You know, every single thing is in players' favor now. And the battle for players is just unbelievable. And I think it's at every level. So there's absolutely nothing that would surprise me at this point. In fact,
very quickly, because I know you got to go. Two things. Ask Ramona what I told her my middle name was when we were online. Okay, because I don't think you say that on the air. You'll get a kick out of that. And secondly, I enjoyed following you on X, buddy.
Thank you, Coach.
I like you. I like your stuff. Keep it coming, okay?
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate the kind words. That means a lot coming from you. Thank you.
All right, bud.
Yep.
Bye.
That's I appreciate that very much. So Ramona, we can't do his middle name. We can't do Coach Bradley's middle name on it. Really? Now that's
Tell you the break and then you can decide.
All right, I am very very surprised. It can't have anything to do with Monique Love from yesterday, can it? I mean, I can't imagine. I'm shocked. I have no idea. We'll be back.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Are you raising kids, building a career, and trying to plan your financial future all at the same time? You're not alone. Financial advisor Lindsay May at KOE Financial in Clemson is doing it too. She understands that